More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, a million pieces. Is stress making you feel like you're being pulled in a million different directions? We'll help you reclaim your peace and put the pieces back together. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled A Million Pieces. Is stress making you feel like you're being pulled in a million different directions? Let us help you reclaim your peace and put the pieces back together. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Tell us what situations in your life or relationships are stressing you out. Let us help you find the answers you're looking for and the peace you're seeking. 877-573-7825.
You know, we all have our own circumstances and our own stuff, and sometimes the stress is coming from really difficult challenges in life. Sometimes the stress is coming from good things, but a million things have to be handled for those good things to happen. And often, you know, when we made the title A Million Pieces, you know, Greg, you're talking about if you feel like you're being stressed into a million different directions, sometimes it feels like the stress that's coming at us is doing that because we have a million pieces or more to handle. Sometimes what we have to handle kind of feels like, you know, picture yourself, you're the busy parent, you're trying to get everything together, you're trying to keep the kids happy, you're trying to do all the things, and then somehow a full glass of water gets knocked off the counter and shatters into a million pieces. And most of us have had to clean that up at some point or another. And you're thinking, first of all, I didn't know 8 ounces of water could make this big a puddle. And then you're thinking, okay, I've got to get every piece of glass up. It can't just be the big pieces. It has to be the tiniest pieces because people are walking through this kitchen and we don't want anybody to get hurt. And on and on and on. And the stress level goes up as we try to do it all and make sure that it's all perfectly taken care of. That's a glass of water. What happens when the situations in our lives involve other people who are making our life and the job we have to do, whatever that job is, more difficult? What happens when one person or a situation gets added to an already full pile? What happens when the stress creeps into our minds and starts to make us feel like we're not up to it, like God's not going to be there for us, like it is not handleable and it's going to just take over and we're going to fail? All of these thoughts that creep in, that pile on to our stress, whether it's good stress or bad stress, really can affect us and affect our ability to handle things with any kind of grace. It pushes God's grace out of our minds and out of our hearts and makes everything heavier, more difficult, more challenging. And if you're feeling like, you know, you got a million pieces or more to be able to handle these days, and you're not sure how to tap into God's grace, you're not sure how to put one foot in front of the other, where to even begin, or you're not sure how to handle those people who are making everything more difficult in your stress, we are here to help you connect with God's grace and get practical answers today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And really, the show's wide open today. You know, if there is something that is stressing you out and you're looking for ways to approach that problem in a manner that allows you to be effective and maintain your peace in the face of that challenging situation in your relationships, challenging situations in your life, whatever it is, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And for folks who aren't aware of what that is, St. John Paul did a series of reflections on what it means to be a Christian disciple in the modern world and how we can begin to discover God's plan for living a more abundant life and having healthy, holier relationships by prayerfully contemplating God's design of our body and mind.
And today, as we look at the theology of the body, it reminds us of the importance of living in a state of receptivity rather than reactivity. Receptivity is the state of mind that allows us to stay connected to God, stay in touch with our resources, and be our best selves, even in those stressful times. By contrast, reactivity is when we allow ourselves to be caught up in that moment, when we lose our connection to God and our resources, and our best self feels like some made-up imaginary thing that's far off that we can never figure out even what it is.
Receptivity is something that we can actually learn and practice, first by becoming more aware of how our bodies are reacting to the people and situations around us, and making sure that rather than focusing all our energy on getting control of the thing that's happening to us, or the person that's plaguing us, we focus inward, working to take our emotional temperature down, to reconnect with God and our resources, and identify how our best self might respond to the situation. You know, St. Francis de Sales actually was referring to receptivity when he wrote, quote, "Never be in a hurry. Do everything quietly and in a calm spirit. Do not lose your inner peace for anything, even if your whole world seems upset," end quote. Now, that sounds great on paper.
That's why he was a saint.
Yeah, well, but how do you do that? Well, that's what we're talking about here. Our natural tendency when we're stressed out is to run around like the proverbial chicken with the head cut off, just trying to fix all the stuff going on outside of us. But the real answer to combating stress and finding the solutions you're looking for is turning inward, like I was just saying, focusing on what do I need to do to take down my emotional temperature, even a notch? What can I do to connect with someone who can give me some support, whether that's practical or emotional or spiritual support? What can I do to connect with God a little bit more? What can I do to reflect on how I would respond to this if I were in my best self right now? You know, and that's what we want to help you do today. You know, in addition to finding the practical solutions to the challenges you're facing that are stressing you out in your life or relationships, we want to help you learn to be a little better at focusing inward, to hold on to that peace, and reconnect with those resources that help you do this yourself. The number, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825.
Well, I'd like to tease out something a little bit here, Greg, because I think that it needs a finer point on it for those who might experience this. For many of us, or for all of us in some situations, we absolutely do that sort of heightened running around thing when we hit a point of stress. We want to fix it. We want to make sure everything is rightly ordered. And so we get that superchargedness, but it looks like we're doing a lot, but we end up very, very stressed from it. But what I want to tease out is when you're talking about turning inward, I want to make sure that all of our listeners understand that that doesn't mean shutting down. For a lot of us, when we get stressed, we get flooded. And so we stop doing anything. We sit on the couch. We look at, you know, social media or our TV. We sleep more. And we think that that's giving us some kind of peace. But it's not. It's holding, we think, the stressors at bay. And yet they're still building up inside of us. When you're talking about turning inward, you're talking about turning into a place where we can reconnect with God within ourselves. He can help us recalibrate our blood pressure, our hormones that are raging because of the stress.
And help us think.
Our thoughts is exactly what I was going to say. That's a different kind of turning inward. That's a turning to God. That's an examination of what is going on inside of us, as you said, looking at what our bodies are saying to us, and then choosing to reconnect with God. It does not mean shutting down. And if you or someone in your life is getting flooded by stress and shutting down, and you think, oh, well, they're calm, or I'm calm, because I'm just sitting, that's not receptivity. That's not...
No, and I'm glad you brought that up, because, you know, this is actually a point of confusion with a lot of our clients, too. When we talk about this, you know, people will say, well, I'm not flying apart, right? I'm not losing my cool. I'm not lashing out. I'm just sleeping more, or I'm just
tuning out.
And that's actually a stress reaction too. You know, that's actually a sign that your emotional temperature is at that 8 or 9 on a scale of 10, you know.
Although it doesn't look like it from the outside.
It doesn't look the same. That's right. It doesn't look the same as somebody who's tantruming or being irritable
or just running around.
But it is the same thing. It's just a different way that the emotional temperature plays out based on your temperament. But in either case, your thinking brain is offline, and you're in that reactive state of being that's preventing you from being able to cooperate with God's grace, to use the resources God's given you, to connect with the supports that are available to you, or even imagine what your best self would be. So I'm really glad you made that clarification. And let's talk it out, folks. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. Sorry.
the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring you all the stuff that's stressing us out in our life and relationships. And the fact is, life is filled with troubles, but we often let those troubles separate us from you, from the people that you've given us to support us, from our own best resources. And that's when we feel the most lonely, the most ineffective, the most powerless, and the most hopeless. And so, Lord, we bring those situations to you right now, and we ask you to deliver us from them. But as long as they're here, we ask you to teach us how to respond to them in ways that help us stay connected to you, that enable us to reach out for the support of those who love us, and help us remember to be our best selves in the face of those challenges, so that in good times and in bad times and in all times, we are cooperating with your grace to use everything you've given us to become the people you've created us to be. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today's show is titled A Million Pieces. We are talking about stress today and the tendency for stress to make us feel like we are being pulled apart in a million different directions and broken up in a million different pieces. If you are dealing with some situation in your life or relationships that's stressing you out, let us help you find the answers you're looking for and the peace you're seeking. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with April, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Illinois.
Hi, April. Welcome to More to Life.
Hi there. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call, and everything you've said is me. My heart is broken into a million pieces. I have a daughter-in-law that's been married to my son for approximately, I think it's 5 years, but they dated a long time before that. She and I have had a great relationship this whole time. There was one little comment that she said that I made that upset her, and she's totally shut me off, but she didn't tell me this. She told my son this. My son has, she's a very, like moody type person. She's very hard to read sometimes and hard to get along with. You have to just bite your tongue and try and keep the peace is what we've always done. My faith is very important to me, and my husband and I have always been nothing but gracious to her, no matter how she treats us. But with this little thing that she took out of context, she's holding over our head, and now she barely speaks to us.
And how have you tried to approach her about this so far?
Well, I can't. My son says that because she's in this little mood, and my son is trying to keep the peace. If they didn't have a child together, he would be gone because she is that difficult to deal with.
So he's not coming to you and saying, "Mom and Dad, she's right. Don't talk to her about it. I agree with her." He's saying, "Yeah, I see all the issues, but I have to protect my child." That's two very different scenarios there.
Yes, that is exactly what's happening. And he understands how we feel, but he's trying to keep the peace.
I want to challenge that, because that's not so. There's a difference between keeping the peace and maintaining the quiet, and he's maintaining the quiet. Because I think that and here's the difference: quiet is the absence of conflict, right? Peace is the tranquility that results from right order, and that's the difference. And that definition is Saint Augustine, by the way, the tranquility that results from right order. That we can't have true peace unless we're willing to rock the boat. Unless we're willing to say, this is a problem that needs to be dealt with. His approach is only going to make things worse for him, for his wife, and for your grandchild, and for you guys, too.
He's actually feeding her narcissistic tendencies by walking on eggshells around her all the time and asking everyone else to do the same.
He's going to need to learn to be that strong man of God that's able to say, "I love you, but this behavior isn't okay. And so, this is the way we can approach it, but I'm not going to deal with it this way." And he's going to need some counseling support to do that. So the best thing that you could be doing in this situation is not tiptoeing around this. And in fact, I would say, you want to, if you have any opportunity at all to approach her directly and say, "Listen, I understand that this is the situation and we need to talk about what needs to happen to make this right," and really press the issue. But that's not the larger problem. The larger problem here is, how do you support your son? And being the husband that God's calling him to be, which means him being able to make that decision that says, this isn't working, and I love you too much to let it continue to let us continue operating this way. So I've made an appointment with a marriage counselor, and I want you to come with me to work through this. And if she refuses to go because her bullying tendencies work for her, and they do, then he needs to go himself to learn how to start setting respectful boundaries that would enable him to preserve the marriage, while at the same time challenging this very poisonous behavior that's really going to destroy the marriage in a matter of time. If not, if he doesn't leave now, at some point it's just going to collapse.
And she'll have a lot more power by then, because she will be getting all her ducks in a row the whole time. And I want you to hear, April, very clearly what Greg said, because your poor son is in such a one down position. He is being eroded very quickly by having to live with a narcissist. You don't even know, when you're living with a narcissist, how quickly your self-esteem and self-worth is being eroded. Greg said he needs to make an appointment with a therapist and say to her, "I made an appointment. I would like you to go with me." And then go, even if she refuses. Not what most people would do, especially someone being eroded by a narcissist, which is, "Can we please go? I think we can work this out. I think we'd be happier if. Can we please go to a therapist?" Without any power behind it, without an appointment, without even knowing who's available, he needs to be strong. And as a woman of God yourself, that's where you need to be. You need to be strengthening him. You need to be giving him resources so he can really identify what mental illness he's dealing with her, which is narcissism, that he can learn the skills to be able to free himself from this kind of tyranny in his life. And he needs to do it
and work
not
for
only,
her good.
And work for her good, but work for his child's good, because it is truly detrimental to be a child raised by a narcissist. It creates so much dysfunction, so many knots that need to be untied as an adult. He doesn't want that for his child. You don't want it for your son or your grandchild. It's time to shine some light on this.
But I want to be clear. And keeping the peace is being willing to rock the boat to make a positive difference here. The sin of sloth is actually refusing to do things to address an injustice that's in front of you. You know, it's maintaining the quiet as opposed to pursuing the peace. That's the sin of sloth. It's not laziness. It's intentionally choosing not to fight a fight that needs to be had. I can recommend a book to you as a follow-up. It's called Stop Walking on Eggshells by Paul Mason. It takes a look at how to deal with a partner who has a personality disorder like narcissism, or you know, even just these narcissistic tendencies. I'd really encourage you to check it out, Stop Walking on Eggshells. We have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about dealing with those stressful situations in your life or relationships. How do we hold on to our best self and stay connected to God and the support we need to find our peace and discover the solutions we're seeking? 877-573-7825. We'll be back with your calls. And Damon Owens from Joyful Ever After will be sharing some insights from the theology of the body on holding on to our peace in stressful times. Stick around.
Nestled under the warm Florida sun is a university whose name indicates a vocational call. Ave Maria, Latin for Hail Mary, recalls the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary of her future vocation, becoming the Mother of God. Enriched by God's grace, Mary freely ascends to this call. This is the model for all students. Come to Ave Maria University, where you'll be empowered to clearly see your vocational call, whatever that call might be. Ave Maria University, your vocation location. Visit avemaria.edu.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling, 35 years of experience, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plans, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right. Well, my wife used Seton, some of our children. And I will tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT, 27% higher on English and reading. It is a rigorous program. At least now, 1.3 million students are homeschooled. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled A Million Pieces. We talk about the stress that seems to pull us apart in our life and relationships. Joining us right now, Damon Owens. He is the founder of JoyfulEverAfter.org, a terrific marriage ministry founded on the theology of the body. Damon, welcome to More to Life.
Thank you, Greg and Lisa. Good talking to you guys.
Good talking with you, too. So look, you know, we're talking about stress today and how it pulls us into this sort of place of reactivity over receptivity. What can the theology of the body teach us about holding on to God and our best selves, even in the middle of stressful times?
Yeah, I got to tell you, once again, with this topic, it's very personal to me as well as just ministry. I could be a stress ball when I really don't keep these principles and actually these practices at bay. And they're also a symbol, a signal that something is out of order. When I think about it, I think about what John Paul II speaks of, obviously relationship and being in relation. But there are four key relationships that we can tease out from even the book of Genesis, particularly Genesis 3, that still play a part here. And it's the relationship, first of all, with God, It's our relationship with ourselves, if we can say that. It's a relationship with other people and the relationship with the created world. And he unpacks those four relationships really through the experience of Adam and Eve at the entrance of sin and their reaction to it, which is very much still like ours, to withdraw. I was afraid, so I hid myself. And there's a break in that relationship with God that introduces a fear. And that stress, if you will, is really a force that draws us into ourselves. But we have a disordered view of ourselves. We can't even look at each other in the right way. And then we forget the beauty, the goodness, and in fact, the purpose we have of work in the created world, a beauty of experiencing. So everything you've said, even in the first part of this show, is precisely the restoration of one, two, three, or four of those relationships in order for us to literally come to our senses, to be able to even know where we are, to dissuade fear, to be able to love, to see ourselves through this restored relationship with God. Lord, who am I? Be with me. I trust in you. Lord, your will be done. And the stresses really are the fruit of the disintegration of one, two, three, or four of those relationships.
You know, and what I like about what you're saying, I mean, it's completely consistent with what we've been talking about up to this point, but it goes deeper into that idea that it's not about running around trying to fix the thing. It's really about turning internally and reestablishing those relationships that help us maintain our peace in the middle of the storm. Damon, I want to thank you so much for being with us today. Great insights. And of course, if folks would like to learn how to use these kinds of ideas to make their marriage even stronger, you can check out joyfuleverafter.org. That's Damon and Melanie's powerful marriage ministry, joyfuleverafter.org. And we're taking your calls right now about those things stressing you out in your life and relationships at 877-573-7825.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
Awe. I love reverence. Wherever I go in the world, I usually go to visit the religious buildings. And no matter what I see reverence, awe. I've been in temples and mosques where I saw more reverence and awe of God than I see in Christian churches, even sometimes in Catholic churches. Oh yes, let me say it. And when I was a boy, Catholics were much more reverent and respectful in church. You never, ever spoke in church. I was a young priest. A man had a heart attack at the beginning of Mass. I stopped the Mass. We prayed for the man while the police were coming, the ambulance. They removed him from the church. He didn't die. Not one word was spoken. The police officers and the ambulance attendants who came whispered respect. I wish it were true today.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
Father John Ricardo served as our spiritual director, and he gave us a theme on which to speak. He asked all the speakers to address this statement in some way, shape, or form: because of you, I know God. And that hit me and Deacon Dominic when he first put that out there like a ton of bricks, because basically, that's our story. And I believe if we stop and think about this, because of someone in our life, whether it be maybe a relative or maybe someone at work or maybe someone on the street, who was it that witnessed to you? And because of that person, you either came to know the Lord or know him and your one holy Catholic and apostolic church better and more intimately.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. Discipline is a difficult question to navigate in today's culture. Many parents don't like the idea of corporal punishment, but fear spoiling their children as well. Luckily, the Church has long provided guidance for parents on this subject. In fact, some well-known saints have specifically preached against corporal punishment. St. John Chrysostom wrote, "Accustom your children not to be trained by the rod, for when he feels it, he will learn to despise it. And when he has learned to despise it, he has reduced your system to naught." St. John Bosco wrote, "Force indeed punishes the guilt, but does not heal the guilty. To strike a child in any way must be avoided." Psychology, brain science, and our Catholic faith agree that parents should assume the best. gently correct the wrongdoing and redirect the child toward more positive behavior. Avoiding force will continue a relationship of trust and mutual respect between you and your child. For more guidance on Catholic parenting, visit moretoliferadio.com. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And our topic today is A Million Pieces, as we talk about the ways stress is impacting us and all those stressful situations in our life or relationships. How do we handle those things in ways that are effective and help us maintain our peace in the middle of the storm?
And I just want to add a little resource that can help some of our moms out there take down their stress. There's a brand new Momfidence podcast and blog up at momfidence.org. And this week's title is I Am Rooted in Grace. So if you're thinking, no, I'm not. I'm running around like a crazy mom. I'm not the mom I want to be. It's there for you on your favorite podcast app and always at momfidence.org. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook and all those great things.
Check it out, momfidence.org. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Eric, who's listening to EWTN Radio in California on the EWTN app.
Hey, Eric. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out today, sir?
Oh, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. So I called in because I caught the show while I was getting ready. I'm actually getting ready to go to court. Mm-hmm. So a lot of, I would say maybe the past 14 months, I've been going through a lot of stress, hurt, you know, heartbroken, pain. I'm actually going through a separation, a divorce, and there's children involved. So, you know, at one point, my youngest, which is my daughter, was being held from me, and I had to get a lawyer so I can start seeing her again temporarily. So that's what we're going through right now. And you know, my eldest, my son, he'll be turning 15 soon. So you know, he's got some things that he's going through due to the cause of all this. So, you know, my relationship with God is probably closer than it ever was. You know, I talk to him constantly and I pray and, you know, and I have a couple of friends that help me walk through this.
Well, God bless you for turning to him, because there are a lot of people who in your situation would be angry at God and would really be running away from him. So I'm glad that you're able to find that strength to turn to him. Can I ask you, Eric, what can we do for you today? Because you're going through an awful lot. We'd love to be able to be helpful to you.
I pray to God every day, you know. I mean a lot of us do, and I just like the guest that you had in a moment ago said, I turn my will and my life over to you. Mm-hmm. You know, thy will be done, not mine. So, you know, it's just let go, and unfortunately there was somebody else, so I stepped aside. If that's what, you know what I mean, if that's
your wife
is,
had someone else.
She was having an affair.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. So,
but if I'm understanding you correctly, you're kind of asking. I mean, I'm reading between the lines here, so I apologize if I'm getting it wrong. But you're kind of asking, how can you really attend to what God is trying to do in your life, and how can you know what his will is for you through all of this? Is that what you're asking?
A little bit. I mean, I took it as the years that we were together, to me, were there's a terrific time, and that's a blessing, and because we're going through this doesn't mean that that time wasn't a blessing. He blessed me with that time.
Fair enough. But Eric, I guess I'm trying to ask you, what can we do? What's your question?
Because you called into a show on stress. So where are you on the stress realm here?
How can we help you?
Yeah, that's where I'm at. So I have this, I let go, but it just seems like she is, keeps bringing up certain things because we're going through court process in February, and all I'm doing is addressing issues, but she's telling me that it's me that's doing the nitpicking and all that, and all I'm doing is addressing. You know, I'm not trying to fight. I'm not trying to do nothing, and it just seems like it keeps rolling down that line, and I keep praying to God and all that. So,
all right. So, I think that what you're wanting to focus on here is, you know, you're not going to convince her that she's wrong. Right. You know, she anytime somebody is accusing somebody else, they're not accusing kind of myself. Well, you're the one who, I mean,
especially when she has a lawyer propping it all up.
Well, you know, either way, you know, I mean, any, you know, even if you're just talking to somebody and they're like, well, you're the one who, they're in what I call that child self mindset. You know, they're not in their place where their thinking brain is turned on. They're operating out of their emotional brain. They feel guilty for something. And they don't want to accept that responsibility, so it's easier to blame the other person. A healthy response would be to say, you know, we've created this sort of mess together, and what do we need to do to work through it together, right? But as soon as you get into that kind of, well, you're the one who, that's somebody who isn't really dealing with things in an honest and forthright way. So you're not going to be able to convince her that her approach is wrong, and you need to stop trying. You need to focus on asking God to help you be clear in your own mind about what is right and what is true, and you need to stand for that. And the best way to do that is based on the approach you're taking, but I would suggest a little twist in your prayer. I would ask you to every day say, Lord, help me, teach me how to respond to this situation in a way that would glorify you, that would enable me to be my best self, and that would enable me to bring out the best in my wife or my kid or whoever it is that you're dealing with. Those three parts: glorify God, be your best self, and respond in a way that would invite the other person to be their best as well. You can't control them being their best, but you can invite them to be their best. And that's going to clarify for you what you need to do. You know, so because, for example, if your wife is doing that kind of tantruming, well, you're the one who sort of thing, you can recognize that that's not healthy, responsible, grown-up behavior, and you can look at her and you can say, honey, I'm sorry that you're angry, and I'm sorry that you're hurting, but that approach isn't going to get us anywhere. Even though we're good, we're divorcing, we still need to work together to figure this out. So what do we need to do now? Do you see what I'm saying? As opposed to going back to whose fault is it and arguing back and forth, you're taking charge of that interaction and saying, this would be a healthier way to deal with it. I'm not going to play this game. This is the way we need to approach this. And that's enabling you to be that instrument of grace, that man of God in this situation that's really directing things, as opposed to what you're doing now, which is just reacting to things and playing defense all the time. So my suggestion is really focusing on that prayer. And Eric, don't do this on your own, right? Going through this, you said that you've got some people who are supporting you. I'm glad for that. If you need, don't be hesitant to accept some professional support though as well, because, you know, it's very difficult, especially for dads, to maintain connection with their kids going through a divorce. And it's going to be important for you to be working with somebody who can help you make those connections, especially when your wife is trying to undermine those connections. So look into that as well. But this approach to prayer will build on the very good spiritual work you're doing already, but enable you to develop more of that receptive mindset that we're talking about on today's show. Thanks so much for the call. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. We're talking about stress today. What's stressing you out in your life or relationships? Let us help you find your peace and the answers you're looking for.
Let's talk now with Josie, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Montana on Sirius XM 130.
Hey, Josie. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I pulled over because as Lisa was just explaining, that stress can also cause you or to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like me and my husband and I are at that place where he's stressed out with work and I'm stressed out with work, and I don't know how to get out of it. I feel so checked out. And when I say checked out, I mean checked out from everything.
Yeah.
Like checked out from my kids, checked out from my husband, checked out from my work. I know that it is, and checked out even spiritually, like when I go to church, I'm physically there. But mentally and spiritually, I'm occupying a pew.
Mm-hmm. I understand.
That's just it. And I think I know where it's coming from, where I have a tendency to keep the peace, make everyone around
quiet.
Me, like my coworkers,
yeah.
just keep their peace, but I'm not at peace.
Okay.
And I'm so agreeable.
Oh, talk to us for a second about what that means for you. I love that. Such a tell. I'm so agreeable. So you're thinking, I'm just keeping the peace. I'm so agreeable to everything. If you weren't, what would you do differently?
So I work on a military installation, mm-hmm. and right now I can honestly say that I love the people, but I don't necessarily like some of the what the job entails.
Mm-hmm.
But
we're asking if you gave yourself permission to be less agreeable, what would you do differently?
Take time off more.
And you're allowed to do that?
I'm allowed to do that. I'm not an active duty member.
Okay.
But
there are things you can do.
Or my expectations for myself.
Yeah, okay. But that's what I'm hearing you say, that there are things you could do that you're preventing yourself from doing because you feel that wouldn't be agreeable. And I want you to really pray about the question, what would you do differently if God gave you permission to be less agreeable and more courageous, more virtuous, have more fortitude, more strength, to do what was good and right? Now, when I say what's right, what you mean, okay, when I say what's good and right, mm-hmm. what you hear is what won't rock the boat.
Mm-hmm. Okay? It'll please everybody.
I want to go back to what I was saying to our first caller, April, today. There's a difference between maintaining the quiet and working for peace. Quiet is just the absence of conflict. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. I would love quiet days where I don't have any problems or I don't have any conflict. Those are good days. But we can't work to maintain the quiet over maintaining the peace. And St. Augustine again says the peace is the tranquility that results from right order. In other words, sometimes you have to rock the boat to maintain the peace because you need to say, hey, look, I have this need that's not being attended to. What are we going to do about that? Hey, there's this problem that nobody's looking at. What are we going to do about that? You know, sometimes we need to be willing to upset people or the apple cart, proverbially, to create peace. And that's what you're not giving yourself permission to do. Agreeableness is helpful. I mean, you know, it's a good quality to have, but it can't be the only quality that you have. And that's where you're running into problems. You're not giving yourself permission to work for real peace because you've kind of created an idol out of agreeableness as opposed to really saying, okay, Lord, help me to really assess what's healthy here. What do I need to do to be healthy in my body, to be healthy in my mind, to be healthy in my relationships, and then to fight for that? Because, you know, as Christians, our job isn't just to not rock the boat. In fact, our job is to call attention to the things that people don't want to look at because we need to build the kingdom of God. And building the kingdom of God means walking around the ruins saying, hey, there are ruins here. We need to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
With everybody else sort of saying, no, let's just hang out. You know, it's always been like this. Why are you making a fuss? It's our job as Christians to charitably make that noise that says, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. Right. And so that means that we have to have the courage to step back and reflect on, you know, is this a healthy thing for me physically and mentally? Is this a healthy thing for me in my relationships? Am I advocating for the people that are dependent upon me? You know, am I advocating for what's right in this situation? So that's all way more important than being agreeable in the Christian walk. Again, I'm not saying agreeableness is bad. We should be kind. We should be charitable. We should be loving. But that doesn't prevent us from doing this other thing, too. So I hope that these suggestions will kind of give you permission to start thinking about what that would look like to value these other things more than agreeableness. But I'm also going to encourage you in two other ways. In my book, what's the name of the book? Unworried. I only write them. I don't remember what they are. Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. We have a chapter. We actually look at addressing anxiety from spiritual, psychological, physical, and relational directions. And I think that chapters on relationships and anxiety would be really helpful for you, because we talk a lot about how to set boundaries, how to have healthy expectations in our relationships, how to advocate for those needs that are not being met in those relationships, whether those are personal relationships or work relationships or otherwise. We also have several chapters on spirituality and anxiety that would be helpful for you too. And it's, again, the name of the book is Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. It'll build on the themes that we've talked about here in the call. If you're finding, though, that you really are struggling to give yourself permission to be courageous and have that fortitude, even at the expense of the agreeableness, if you're finding that you're not able to apply the things in the book, then that's a time that you want to maybe start looking at getting some professional support, because what's happening to both you and your husband here is just going to eat away at your mental health and the stability of your relationship over time, because you're not dealing with a lot of stuff that needs to be dealt with, because you're just so overwhelmed that you can't think of anything else to do but shut down. So, you know, doing these things that we're talking about will help you take down your emotional temperature and should help you begin to address those things. But if you find that it's not, then you're going to need somebody gently supporting you in giving you new techniques and the accountability that you need to address this stuff head on. Josie, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here at on the show or at CatholicCounselors.com to pick up that book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, or learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's Catholic telecounseling practice. God bless you. We have to go to break, but as we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7.
God did not give us a spirit of cowardness, but rather of power and love and self-control. I don't know, Greg. I think a lot of us go, yes, he did. Because this is what I live in. But it's when we're disconnected from God that we feel that sense of cowardness or undue fear.
Yeah, and I think that we actually, Josie's call, April's call before her, it really speaks to that spirit of cowardice. That
we're not saying they're cowards, but the cowardness is, I can't do this by myself. It's actually there to remind us that we can't, that we can only do it with God's help.
Yeah, it's just that cowardice is that sloth, it's that I've got to not rock the boat, I've got to quote-unquote keep the peace. That's not peace, that's maintaining the quiet. And there's a very big difference there. God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control that enables us to face those challenges head-on and address those concerns the way we need to. We have to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about how those situations in your life or relationships are stressing you out. Let us help you find the answers you're looking for and the peace you're seeking. 877-573-7825.
Looking for peace? Longing for joy? God is calling you to know and love Jesus Christ like never before and to help others do the same. God is calling you to bring Ignatian prayer into the suffering world, to work for the new evangelization. Here's your opportunity. Go to LordTeachMeToPray.com, order the free digital training and facilitator manual, LordTeachMeToPray.com. Click on the red button now. God is calling you. Underwritten by Lord Teach Me to Pray.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare option you've been searching for. From concierge service to ethical consultations to partnerships with one of the nation's largest healthcare sharing ministries, CMF Curo offers a pro-life, Catholic approach to your overall health and well-being. Find out today if CMF Curo is right for you. Call 833-GET-CURO. That's 833-GETCURO. Or visit mycatholichealthcare.com.
Do you wish you could have discussions about difficult topics with your adult children? If so, don't worry. You're not alone. Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. And our new book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, can help you draw closer to your adult children and help guide them on the path to more faithful and meaningful lives.
You can get our latest book and all of our other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled A Million Pieces, as we talk about stress and how it makes us feel like we're being pulled in a million different directions or torn into a million different pieces. If you got situations in your life or relationships stressing you out, we got answers here on More to Life.
Let's talk now with Maria, who's listening to EWTN Radio on the Ave Maria radio app.
Hey, Maria. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This is a follow-up to the previous callers. I've realized through my 14-year marriage that I ended up being a codependent married to a narcissist. And so three kids with this man, and I ended up separating when the kids were all in elementary school, and subsequently he divorced me, followed by an annulment. So here I am, the aftermath. The kids are teenagers, college age, and I see the relationships with my kids, what I put them through to deal with this narcissist, and now my ex-husband has got a new wife, and it's as though he's trying to rewrite history that I was never there, and trying to shut me out of the kid's life. And it's really hard to not to be reactive to that.
Shut you out of the kids' lives, are the kids living with you or with him?
Well, the college age is with the father, but the two younger are with me. But I've noticed that since the oldest went to live with him. He basically said I wasn't part of the family anymore, and I wasn't allowed to make any decisions. And so it seems like as soon as I relinquished the kids to him, he has decided that I'm no longer useful, and he's just moving on with his life.
So the question I guess I have for you is, what kind of support are you getting to hold your family together in the face of
it? Okay, so right now I have my own counseling that I go to. I'm looking for family counseling, but, it's just really difficult to find those resources.
It is hard
now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I do think that family counseling is going to be really particularly important. But, I guess what I'm hearing you say, though, is that you're kind of letting your ex kind of define the relationship with the kids instead of you really looking at what you can do directly to build that relationship and create that strong home environment. And what I'd suggest to you is that you really need to be having more conversations, especially with the kids that are at home right now, about what can we do to be a more effective team. You told our screener that this divorce happened quite a few years ago when they were in grade school and now they're teenagers. But, I think that one of the best questions that families can ask every day when they get up is, what's one thing that we can try to do to take good care of each other today? What's one small thing that we could each do to try to help each other feel more connected, to feel more cared for? And you do that as part of your morning prayer as a family. And maybe you don't pray together as a family yet, but it doesn't have to be a big deal. It can be all of 2 minutes. Lord bless our day and take care of us and help us to love you and love each other and everything that we do. And then you say, okay, guys, what's one small thing we can do to try to take good care of each other today and be a stronger team? And then you talk about that over dinner. What did we do? And how are we doing on that? And is there something else we could do tonight? I think asking that question is going to be one of the most important things, because that gives your kids a strong sense of you and of the team that you're building that your husband then won't be able to come between. If you're just sort of going through the motions, that's where it's easy for a parent to alienate the other parent from the kids. But when you're being that intentional about building relationship, when you're being intentional about creating rituals for working, playing, talking, and praying together every day as a family, that's how you build those kind of relationships that make it more difficult for you to lose those connections. So I'm glad to hear that you're getting personal counseling. I'm glad to hear that you're looking for family counseling. I think it's going to be critical. But in the meantime, really focus on building a team by asking that question and looking at ways that you can create rituals for working, playing, talking, and praying together every day as a family. By the way, we talk about that framework at CatholicHOM.com, which is a new resource that's not quite released yet, but there's a landing page there. You can sign up for more information. You can also join the Facebook discussion group at CatholicHOM Family Discipleship to learn more about that resource. I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Maria. And if there's more that we can do for you, or listeners, any of you who are dealing with stressful situations, come check out the resources we have available at CatholicCounselors.com, where you can learn more about the books we've discussed, and the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. It's all available at CatholicCounselors.com. Get out there and celebrate the life that God has for you, because with His grace, there really is so much more to life.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.